Okay, I'm going to jump up here before Brother Robert does announcements. Brother Robert, join me up here on the stage, please. This is Pastor Appreciation Month, and actually the actual date was October 9th, but Brother Robert and Laura were on vacation, so the rest of the staff and those we picked today as a day to honor you and to thank you for your leadership, and I'm very thankful that he's always preaching the Word of God out of the Bible and everything. So we just want to thank you for that. And also, I know we're missing part of your ministry up here. So Laura, would you come up here? Because we know, oh yes, you have to. Yes. Because we know behind. Because gentlemen, those of you that are married, you know this. And if you're recently married, you will know this. Behind every good man is a better woman, right? So there we go. And we know he could not do his ministry without her love and support. And so we have this token of appreciation for it, but I know how you are. We're going to give it to her, and she can give you an allowance and everything, so we understand how that works. But anyway, we just wanted to thank you for all that you do for our church. If we could, let's just have a prayer here for Brother Robert and Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for Brother Robert and for Lord, for the ministry that they bring to this church and for the love they have for the congregation, Father. We are so thankful that he listens to you. He follows you. He's a man after your own heart, Father. And we just thank you that you brought him to us. And Father, we just want you to bless his ministry and to bless both of them. And Father, we just pray for them and their family and for this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
I do. Thank you very much. It is a privilege and an honor to serve. This last week represents our 12th year. And it's gone by quick. We came during the week of Judgment House, and it felt like we just didn't quit going. And the Lord has been good, and we are grateful and humbled to serve here. We do appreciate your expressions of appreciation. Few announcements, and I will just tell you this right off the bat. Read your bulletin, because there's a lot going on right now in this season. Tonight we do have a fifth Sunday singing. There are some forms at the Welcome Center to sign up for a special if you want to bring a special or to request your favorite hymn to be sung. And so be sure you visit the Welcome Center. We will be doing that this evening. And then for the fellowship, bring homemade ice cream or brownies or cookies. And there's a note here. You will need to take home what is left over of what you bring. Your pastor enjoys sweets, but he doesn't need them in the office all week long. So we do appreciate your giving. Trunk or Treat happens tomorrow evening, 5:30 to 7, out in our parking lot. Sign-up sheets are at the Welcome Center and in the office, and there are still spots there for you to do that as we represent the Lord in this community tomorrow. Do note this, the proposed budget for the new year, 2023, was emailed to you on Friday. If you did not receive it, there are some paper copies at the Welcome Center and then also in the church office. We will be discussing the budget, the proposed budget, at the November 13th church conference, and then that will be voted on December the 4th in the morning service, at the end of the morning service. Another item, Tuesday, November 1st, men, there is a brotherhood breakfast for dinner at 7 p.m. at the Student Ministries building. They're trying to move it around a little bit, but they will be having a breakfast meal in the evening time on this next coming Tuesday. So you're encouraged to come and be a part of that. Again, read your bulletin because there are a lot of things going on. Upcoming opportunities that you'll need to give attention to. So thank you very much.
Would you please stand as we begin our worship through music with Open Up the Heavens. We've waited for this day. We've gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates,
a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're seeing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. We want to see you. We want to see you. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river opening from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Sing, open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of your praise. We sing, sing.
Amen, amen. Okay, hymn number 361, we have come into his house.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and gathered in his name to worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ.
Let's do the first verse again, please. First verse again.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have gathered in his name, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house
Hymn number 447, Trust and Obey. We'll be doing the first, second, and fourth verses. Hymn 447.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but
Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you this morning, rejoicing, giving you thanks that we can be in this place. Lord, we love you. We thank you likewise for all the blessings that are ours this beautiful morning, the time in your word this morning in our Sunday school classes. Likewise, Father, having visitors with us this morning, and do ask your blessings upon them. Lord, we do come, and may we give you all our worship. Lord, please let nothing distract us. Change us, Lord, when we leave this place. May we know we've been in your presence. Lord, we continue our worship as we receive these tithes and offerings and humbly, earnestly ask you to bless them to the ongoing of your kingdom. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy to receive glory and honor and all power." Would you join us as we sing hymn number 3, Worthy of Worship?
And sing.
Choir for leading us our worship in song. You may have recognized that you received a bookmark in your worship bulletin this morning that is an Operation Christmas Child prayer reminder. We do have recognition and dedication of those shoeboxes in a couple of weeks. We'll be dedicating those and then they'll be delivered to a central area and then they'll be dispersed through the world. And so be in prayer for that process and your part in that. So those are just little reminders, and so be sure you have those. Notice several folks that were handed a bulletin, the bookmark dropped out on the floor. So if you don't have one, that might be what happened. We have extra bookmarks if you need, so just let us know. The scripture is filled with accounts of people faithful to the Lord, and they become prominent in our Sunday school lessons, our growing up days. For those who grew up in the church, you've heard of the popular Old Testament characters of Noah and Abraham and Moses and guys like Samson and Samuel, Daniel. New Testament characters the same way. There's John the Baptist, of course, Peter, James, and John, Joseph and Mary, the parents of Christ, the mother of the Lord, and then Joseph, who took him on, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Paul, Barnabas, we could go on. But I enjoy picking out and finding those that were kind of behind the scenes, maybe not so prominent, but still had a great impact with their lives and their service to the Lord. In the Old Testament, there's a prophet named Micaiah, and perhaps in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, you could read about him. He was bold enough to prophesy against King Ahab. There was a priest named Jehoiada, and he was a priest who hid one of the sons of the kings of Judah for a season of time, and then he moved forward in raising that king up who reigned for 40 years in Judah. And while that priest was alive, Judah was a faithful nation to the Lord God. Kind of an unsung hero. Baruch, who was Jeremiah's scribe, he wrote the book of Jeremiah on more than one occasion because a king burned one of those scrolls, and so Baruch was very faithful, perhaps not really recognized by many, but somebody who kept the word alive through his work of scribing. In the New Testament, there are a few. There's an unnamed young man in the book of Acts, chapter 23, that overheard a plot to kill the Apostle Paul, who was in prison by some zealots who were saying, "We're not going to eat until we kill Paul." And he went and told the commander of the Roman guard, and they protected Paul because of that young boy having heard of that conspiracy and revealing it. And then, of course, there's the Good Samaritan from Jesus' parable. We never get a name on that individual, but he did a good work for someone that was a stranger in trouble. Well, this morning we're going to concentrate on an Old Testament family. And I know you've heard of them. If you've read the Bible through, you've heard of their names. If you've not read the Bible through, you've probably not heard of their names very often, but I consider them heroes of the faith. They're found in Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 19 are the verses that I'll be reading this morning. If you're able to stand as we read that chapter, I would encourage you to do so now as we hear this word in Scripture. Jeremiah writes, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go to the house of the Rechabites and speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, son of Habazaniah, and his brothers, and all his sons in the whole house of the Rechabites. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the doorkeeper. Then I set before these men of the house of the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups. And I said to them, Drink wine. But they said, We will not drink wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, You shall not drink wine, you or your sons, forever. And you shall not build a house, and you shall not sow seed, and you shall not plant a vineyard or own one. But in tents you shall dwell all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. And we've obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he commanded us, not to drink wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, and we do not have vineyard or field or seed. We have only dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and have done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded. But it came about when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the land, that we said, Come and let us go to Jerusalem before the army of the Chaldeans and before the army of the Arameans. So we've dwelt in Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will you not receive instruction by listening to my words, declares the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are observed. So they do not drink wine to this day, for they've obeyed their father's command. But I've spoken to you again and again, yet you've not listened to me. Also I've sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them again and again, saying, Turn now every man from his evil way and amend your deeds. Do not go after other gods to worship them. Then you shall dwell in the land which I've given to you and to your forefathers, but you've not inclined your ear or listened to me. Indeed, the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, also have observed the command of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not listened to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I'm bringing on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster that I've pronounced against them, because I spoke to them, but they did not listen, and I have called them, but they did not answer. Then Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because you've obeyed the command of Jonadab your father, kept all his commands and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me always." Let's pray together. Father, we humble our hearts before you this morning. Our desire is to hear a word from you, and Father, we thank you for this Old Testament account. We pray we have ears to hear and hearts that receive as you teach our hearts by your Spirit. Father, I pray your Spirit have freedom to move in our midst, Lord God, to break down the barriers that might be there so that we might hear clearly your message to us today in the 21st century about this Old Testament family that was faithful to you. Lord God, we love you. Help us to prove that love through our obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this family had a testimony for Jeremiah. When he had taken them to a selected chamber in the house of the Lord, just as the Lord commanded, they were set before them bowls of wine they would not drink, because they'd been instructed by a patriarch of their family years before. In fact, the commentaries say 250 years before this event is when that command came to them. And so they held to that command of their forefather for 250 years. They lived as foreigners in the world. They lived in tents rather than take up houses. They didn't farm any land that would bring out vineyards so that they would not be tempted to drink wine. And they obeyed what their forefather had taught them. Their commitment was similar to that we find in the Old Testament called a Nazarite vow. A Nazarite would make a commitment for a particular period of time and say, I abstain from drinking alcohol, will not cut my hair for a period of time until this particular thing is accomplished. And so they'd take a vow. This family basically took a Nazarite vow for all generations because of the command of their forefather. And they were faithful to it. I think it's important for us to look at these kind of commitments and to encourage our own hearts. And notice that the Lord used this very commitment of this family as a contrast to the rebellion of the house of Judah. The house of Judah had heard from God commands that he had given to them over the years. As the passage says more than one time, again and again and again, I sent people to you to tell you and you did not listen. And yet this family just took a command from a forefather 250 years ago to say, set your ways here. And they lived according to those ways. There are a few observances we can make, and just right off the bat, I want to start with this one. First off, God was fully aware and knew of this particular family and their commitment. It is God who commanded Jeremiah. Look at verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim. In verse 2, go to the house of the Rechabites. He knew exactly who this family was. God was fully aware of those who are committed to him. He is fully aware of those who have trusted themselves to him wholly so that he might be used, they might be used by him. He's not flawed. He doesn't dismiss, he doesn't overlook those who entrust themselves to him. He is very aware. You can be sure that he's also aware of those who do not trust him. But in this case, he pointed Jeremiah the prophet to this family. We have no indication in the passage that Jeremiah even knew about this family before this command to go to the house of the Rechabites. But we find that that's exactly what took place. And part of their commitment to this family, not build a house, live in tents as sojourners, be transients in this world, non-resident people really. And they consider themselves strangers and aliens in a temporary place with a view to a future promise of eternity. You know, when you read Hebrews 11, you find that's the testimony of the faithful in the Old Testament. Well, the Rechabites aren't mentioned in Hebrews 11, but they certainly could have been because they lived as strangers in the world. They didn't set themselves as permanent in this world. They knew there was a place that was outside of this life that they were headed to. And they listened to their father who instructed them in that way. I just want us to know the Lord's aware of whatever commitments you make to him regarding truth and righteous living. And when the day comes of standing before the Lord, and listen, believers, we will stand before the Lord in a day just like unbelievers will stand before the Lord one day. The only difference is that Christ Jesus has taken your judgment against your sin upon him, but there will still be a judgment regarding our works and our lives, how we live them before the Lord. And we'll have to give an account of that. In this picture, we see that the Rechabites did well because the Lord's response was, I'm pleased with this family. They will have someone to stand before me all the days of their family's lives. So the Lord favored those who were faithful. He knew who they were. He knew their commitment, and he sent the prophet to them. Secondly, God used this commitment of this family as a standard of trust and obedience regarding his righteousness. God's wrath against the nation of Judah was very apparent, but it was basically based upon the nation's failure to listen and obey God. We just sang a song, Trust and Obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, that's really true. I've found in my own life, when I've walked out of fellowship with the Lord, or when I've decided to go my own way, or to be ugly to somebody and to step aside, I'm not very happy. When I'm walking with the Lord, when I'm obedient to Him, that doesn't mean everything's going well, but when I'm walking in obedience, I'm pretty happy. I call that joy. It's because the Spirit gives you joy. But when you're walking in holiness and you're trusting the Lord, He gives you that joy all the more so that you might experience it on a level to a higher degree. We find here that God's indictment against Judah, verses 12 through 16, and we kind of read that earlier, but God really rebuked the people. Through the prophet Jeremiah, He said, "I've sent prophets. They have spoken my words to you again and again and again, but you've not listened. You've chosen to do your own thing." And so there was an indictment against Judah, but this unique family heeded the instruction of a man who was dead and gone 250 years before. And this nation who'd been called, protected, provided for, given prosperity by the Lord God of heaven, they would not listen to the Lord God. It was pure rebellion. It was a refusal to comply with the Lord. And as a result, they were being kicked out of their land. The entire prophecy of Jeremiah is one sad story about the refusal of a nation to yield to the Lord God. And it was too late. Nebuchadnezzar was sent in to drag them out of the land, and they would not experience prosperity again for another 70 years. But the recognition of this family was a tool used in the hands of the Lord God through the prophet to reveal the depth of the sin of the nation against their God. A third thing we find here is that indeed God favored and blessed this family in the last couple of verses of this chapter. As Jeremiah told the Rechabites, "The Lord, the God of Israel, says, because you've obeyed Jonadab your father and kept all his commandments and done according to all that he commanded you, you will not lack a man to stand before me always." I don't know about you. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I think about my influence and my impact upon my own children, my own grandchildren, my neighbors, church members, associates that I hang out with, and I hope that I'm having such an influence upon them that there will always be someone to stand before the Lord from my lineage, whether it be blood or just by association. I am hopeful that I'm being faithful to the Lord to speak of Him more often than myself so that there might be a heritage of faithfulness that is left behind long after I'm gone. This family stood out among the other inhabitants of the land. They experienced the promised blessings awarded to those who walk in faithfulness. And on more than one occasion in Scripture, God reminds the faithful that there's a reward awaiting those who serve Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, mentioned that chapter a moment ago, verse 6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him." That's just one passage that speaks about the reward the Lord God desires to give to those who are faithful to Him. He wants us to know that when this life is over, there's a greater reward awaiting. And most of chapter 11 in Hebrews tells us about these that were faithful. And even though they were persecuted and many of them killed, they held out for this land and the reward that the Father had for them in glory. This is what we ought to be longing for, too, in the 21st century. Just because a culture desires to live a different way doesn't mean those who trust the Lord should live a different way. I mean, these Rechabites were certainly challenged, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But what we find is because they held fast to that challenge, it became beneficial for them as they walked in the obedience of the Lord that they would be rewarded, and they had that promise that they would always have someone in their family who would walk in the ways of the Father. I don't know about you. I want that for myself. I hope you want that for yourself. That in your family lineage, that in your circle of friends, you want to leave a heritage of those who have trusted the Lord because you've been faithful to what the Lord has called you to. I think that's important for us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, very well-read passage of Scripture, verses 6 through 9, as God was giving the law to Israel through Moses, God gave this word. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you should bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. That word of God should be what people see in your life, in your home, out of your mouth every single day, so that we might leave behind a heritage of godliness. That we live it out, and then we are leaving that behind as well. Now think about this. We do that as we love on our children, as we teach them about faithfulness in their lives, whether it be at their job, although we need to be careful, don't teach them that it's just about making money, it's just about building a big bank account or having the biggest house. We need to make sure that we devote ourselves to health and goodwill. Sports and hobbies are fine, but if that's all you devote your life to, your children are going to pick that up. Children are not foolish. They more learn by what they see out of us than what they hear out of us. And so we ought to be living those principles, just as the Deuteronomy writer says, as you walk along the way, when you sit down, when you lie down, when you get up, your life should be telling the message of the Lord God to impact their lives. And those things are given so that our lives are ministry to others. Now note this, this family was seriously tested. This command that Jeremiah received from the Lord was to bring that family into the house of the Lord, into a chamber. The temple was built with some chambers in it, and some priests and keepers of the gates and things of that nature would stay in these chambers. Sometimes they would be storage areas for the items that were in the house of the Lord, the showbread and the incense and things of that nature. But here they brought into a chamber this entire family, and set before them were bowls of wine. I'm not a wine drinker, but usually when I see someone drinking wine on a TV show, they have a little bitty skinny stemmed glass, and they have a cup about this big, and they pour about that much in it. And then they sip on it, and they do their thing. I don't know exactly what happens. I've seen it. Don't know what it means. I actually had wine at a service, our children, we attended with them, and the Lord's Supper, real wine was served, and I did not know it was real wine until it hit my mouth, and then my daughter said, oh yeah, Dad, it's real wine, and so I'm not a wine drinker. I've never had the taste for it because I've never drank it much, but I can't imagine a bowl of wine before me. I've eaten soup out of a bowl. I don't think I'd be drinking wine out of a bowl, but they had bowls before them, so that they might be partaking of that wine. And the Lord did this intentionally. They had come inside the city walls to find protection from the Babylonian forces. I want you to notice verse 2 says, so go to the house of the Rechabites. Part of their testimony was, we're living in tents. Our father told us to live in tents. And perhaps they couldn't do that because of the threat upon their life by the enemy army that was holding Judah under siege. Listen, they were under siege for 2 years. Outside the city, harassing them, not allowing them to go out in the crops and get what they needed to eat. So there was a danger of famine and dying and starving to death and health issues inside the city of Jerusalem because they were surrounded by the enemy. So all those outside that didn't want to get killed ran to the city behind the city walls. So the Rechabites took refuge. And so they must have been staying in a house or at the very least staying in a tent in a courtyard or in an area somewhere. So they were located quickly because they were in Jerusalem. But the command was to bring them to the house of the Lord, where they would be tested by the prophet of God in God's house to break a vow that had been in their family for years. And really, they would have been excused by most people if they had taken the drink. We have friends like that. Perhaps we have church member friends like that who encourage you and say, oh, just stop fighting that feeling. Don't be so hard on yourself. Loosen up a bit. God will understand. That's not godly counsel. That's saying give in to the flesh rather than hold on to the conviction that you have in your heart. And these men and women in this family, when they were presented with the bowls, they had a decision to make, a choice to make before them. And I will tell you that they stood firm. That's why we need a good family around us, to help us stand firm when it gets rough and when things get hard. True love will hold you to account for the sake of righteousness and truth. It won't allow you to fall into compromise and jeopardize your testimony. Over and over again, I think about how we parent our children. Do we really love them? You know what the Bible says? If you love your child, then discipline your child. We have a lot of families don't discipline their child. They want to be their friend. That's not what you're called to be. You're called to be the parent, not their friend. My kids weren't my friends when they were growing up. They, at times, were enemies. But now that they're 35, 38, and even when they were in their 20s, we'd get together for family get-togethers. They come and plop themselves in my lap, and we play, and we enjoy one another because we did the hard work of disciplining them to be decent people while they were still young. It is good for your children. And the Rechabites were serious about their family being a representative of the Lord God, even beyond Jonadab's days. Here's some directives for you. Hold to them. And then the family held each other accountable through all of those years, 250 years later. And then when they're brought into a place and bowls of wine are set before them, and it's plural, so imagine there were more than one, they held back and said, we can't do this. Our father told us a long time ago, we need to be faithful to our God. And the way we do that is by being faithful to our Father who taught us this thing. And so, what we see here, expect serious testing as a believer. If you're serious about your faith, you're going to be tested. And the Lord said in Matthew 7:13, look, the road to righteousness is narrow and it's difficult. And there are just a few who go there, but it leads to life. The other road's wide. It's easy. A lot of people go that way, but it leads to death. Jesus said, if you follow after me, you have to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. There's a lot of heartache and trouble in that command. Paul said, if you want to be a godly person, you must understand godliness will bring about persecution. In fact, I fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. And I encourage you to do the same thing. The Apostle Paul was not about backing off a little bit to make the gospel palatable so we could taste it and go, oh, that's so sweet, I think I'll go there. It was to be serious. If you're going to trust Christ, days ahead are not going to be easy. Christ never said that. But they certainly would be joyful and fruitful, and it will be worth it because the Lord will bring you into a permanent and eternal place of eternal blessing. The Rechabites, in that setting, were found faithful to their conviction. We will not drink wine because our father commanded us. They were committed to honor their father in the faith, to stand in good conscience before God. They wouldn't let temptation knock them off track. Listen, the scripture tells us there's no temptation that has overcome you that is not also common to all man. But God, who is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to handle, but will with the temptation, also make the way of escape so that you can bear up under it. That's in 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Lord gives us an out. When temptation's overwhelming, he provides a spirit and the truth that he gives us in the word to hold on to even while we go through that, and he will reward us. Listen, their father had been dead a long time, but they held to his instruction, what they knew to be true. And as a result, they were examples to others. Now, I'm going to take a caveat here and say, sometimes our parents don't give us good advice. Be careful. If the advice is not godly and biblical and true advice, be careful with that. If it isn't given to you for your spiritual well-being, don't just follow it blindly. Make sure it's good for you. There are times when our earthly fathers make mistakes. I made my share. I'm sure some of you out here, dads, you made your share. And moms as well. We don't always give the perfect advice. But if it lines up with scripture truth, it should be heeded and it should be kept and held on to. And the Rechabites were faithful to the conviction in their heart that they would hold to this command from their forefather. And by that, their faithfulness to that man was faithfulness to the Lord. And it will seem out of place in this current world system, just as it did in the days of the Rechabites. Again, others would probably encourage them and say, go ahead, take a drink. We won't hold that against you. Man, you held out for 250 years. That's commendable. You can break that now. It won't be any big deal. But it would have been a big deal in their conviction, their heart. Listen, don't give in. Stick it out. Stay with the Lord. Rechabites stayed convicted. They stayed faithful to that conviction. And most of the time when you do that and others see you, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to have persecution. People are going to avoid you. They might even talk about you hatefully. But you will be a saving example for others. It will be an impact upon others' lives, and it is always worth it. You can be a testimony to some others that to live by faith is to trust in the unseen, and that's eternal, because the world's filled with people who trust in what they see, and that's all temporary. Lord Jesus Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount, right off the bat, in chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Your life should be watched. You should be like a light sitting on a hill. Your life should be shining faithfulness before the Lord, obeying him, no matter what the darkness in the world is doing, but what the light is controlling and directing you to do. Lastly, the Rechabites were granted blessing of great reward. The reward would be they'd always have believers in their family line, and that's a great promise. I'm hopeful. I know my children belong to the Lord, that my son-in-laws belong to the Lord, that my grandkids are slowly becoming aware of their need for Christ, and one or two of them are baptized already, and we're hoping for more. Every time we have them in the home, we try and make sure that we are wholesome, that we are teaching them the very same values we taught our kids, because it's our stewardship. Those are going to be the ones that are going to be here when I'm long gone, and I'm hopeful that their kids one day will have that heritage passed down to them and that legacy of faithfulness to the Lord, who's a faithful, good God, will be a part of their lives. And they'll be sharing it with others. We have a great heritage. The Lord God has given salvation by grace through faith in those who will believe. He has offered to us that which we did not earn or deserve, to bring us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, to bring us out of death into life. What are we going to do with that? And that really becomes the question. What will I do with that? As I consider my loved ones and my friends and the people that I have contact with in this world, like it or not, I'm going to have some kind of influence upon them. And you will on your central circle of concern. You too will have an influence. What will it be? Will it be that you're passing on a godly heritage, a spiritual legacy, of great value because it's based upon the truth and life of the Lord Jesus Christ? These Rechabites honored their mother and father. One of the commandments is to honor your father and your mother. And when you do that, it will be good for you all the days of your life. If I'm not mistaken, this is the only commandment that comes with a promise. If you honor them, you will live long in the land. And that means not just me physically, but my lineage will live long in the land. And I think of the land that's not just here and temporary, but the land that's eternal and permanent. The land of eternal glory with the Lord. That my posterity, my children, grandchildren, friends, and associates will find a place in glory because they trusted in this Christ who supplies salvation to the lost. We have before us life or death every single day. Life is found in Christ and death is found in self. I'm going to be like Joshua. Trust in life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Life is far better, not just by what's happening in this world, but what will be happening that's been promised to those who trust him. That is far better laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor thieves can steal. That's what's of importance here. Live a godly and leave a godly heritage for those behind. Listen, if you have trusted Christ, it's a privilege for you. Invest in your friends and your family. The word stewardship comes to mind. You've been entrusted with a marvelous opportunity and privilege. Be faithful to that privilege. Share this marvelous gospel with others. Be sure that you're living that message out so that your message is credible. And trust in the Lord rather than in yourself. If you're trusting in yourself, you have sure separation from God planned for you for all eternity. Listen, trust Christ today if you've not. Lord God gives us opportunity to know that He sent His Son to come and die on the cross because we've sinned and we can't do anything about it. But the sinless Son of God came down, offered Himself as a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. Because of that, God raised Christ up from the dead. And the promise is all who believe in Him will have their sins washed away and they will have the assurance of eternal glory. Upon that, the believer should be committed, surrendered to the Lord, recognizing Him as the ruler and the king of their life, so that they're yielded to Him, so that when we have bowls of wine set before us, we will be able to stand fast on the conviction the Lord lays in our heart through the truth of His word and good instructors, and we will honor Him and bring many others along with us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. The privilege that You give us every single day to know You by grace through faith in Christ, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, through the truth of the Word. You're constantly revealing Yourself to us. And this morning, Father, we've had a chance to look at a family impacted by a faithful father who brought a command and gave them a mandate. And Lord God, as they held to that mandate, they were honored. They were held up as a shining example. Lord God, help us to be found faithful, to be that, not for our own exaltation, but so that we are lifting You up because You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of exaltation. Stir our hearts, Father. Where we're not walking in faithfulness, Lord God, bring conviction. Bring us to a place of repentance, turning back to You. Lord God, help us to have the words formed on our tongues to be able to speak positively for You whenever given the privilege and opportunity. Now, Lord God, move in our midst. Bring us to a place of commitment, rededication, conviction, even salvation as we enter into this time of response. We pray it to Your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together so we have opportunity to respond. Brother Houston will lead us. I'll be here for prayer should we need it. Father God, we are humbled before You and thank You that You have given a gift. Unlike the other gods of the world, Father, they expect the server to give them something. But Father, You have given eternal life. And for those of us that have received that life, Father, we are grateful and pray that You help us by Your powerful spirit and truth of your word, to walk in obedience, to trust you, that we can be happy in you. May you be glorified through that process as you work out your salvation in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask it. Amen. I would ask you to consider coming back tonight, praising the Lord with us in music, and then we will see you tomorrow night if you come by Trunk or Treat.
Right. Yes, and just a quick announcement about tonight. I hope you'll come back and join us. We have a nice list of those that have signed up to do specials for us tonight. And if you're one of those, if you'll see me tonight when you arrive, I'll have a program of the order that we're going to do. Okay, if you did not sign up for a special, I'm sorry, you don't get a program, that's a secret. Okay, so it's just going to be a surprise tonight for you. But anyway, come back and join us for a song. We'll have a good time, and then we'll have a nice time fellowshipping right after that. All right, let's sing again, The Family of God, before we leave.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this odd. For I'm part of the family of God.
God bless. Have a great week. We hope to see you back tonight.